All right. Let's light this candle.
Just keep cranking away. So
take that and think about that for a little bit.
Wow, bro.
You are listening to David Kaplan, weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Now Mahomes, and that makes him 9 for 10 in that category. On 3rd and 4th and 1, picking up a first down. And it sets up 1st and goal. And
well, that's what I was talking about. He's at the bottom of that pile, and there's just a lot of bodies, a lot of people falling on top of you. And you know, I can tell you, a lot happens at the bottom of that. Just hope he's not re-aggravated that ankle.
Cap and Company with David Kaplan on ESPN 1000.
Do you slide on all your nights like this?
Welcome into Cap and Company on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. No, I'm not David Kaplan. I am Adam Abdallah along with Shea Pepler-Cornett. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah, at Shea Pepler. Welcome in. We're going to do our best job to fill in for David Kaplan. He's a little bit under the weather today as he was yesterday. And we're going to cover everything. We're going to preview Bears and Saints. We're going to get the latest on the Bears managerial or the Cubs managerial search. We're going to hear from Adam Johns, play shot or no shot. Tracy Butler is going to give us the weather for the forecast for the Bears game. Jeff Passan's going to talk Cubs and White Sox, get the best plays from the Philly Godfather. And of course, Cap is going to, because it wouldn't be a Cap show without him. Even if he's sick or in a hospital, he's not in a hospital, but if he was, he would still call in and want to be a part of his own show. So he's going to call and give his best plays of the weekend at 9:45. But should we? How are you doing today?
Hello, Abdallah. It's our first time working together.
It is. Yes. Yeah. And I think it's my first time having Danny Zetterman producing, Chris Bleck producing.
Oh, no.
Today. So this should
so
be.
Things could go off the rails.
Oh, it's
going to
get weird. It's going to get weird. Trust me. This is not going to be the normal Cap and Company show. Obviously, we'll still do everything that Cap wants us to do because he's always listening.
Always listening. And I didn't realize how sick he was. I thought it was just a little sniffle and a cough.
So, Cap.
Oh, my.
And I think Danny kind of brought this on Cap himself. Cap has shingles. Cap has, it started off, it looked like a sty on his eye or something like that. And a little
first
like sore.
It started under his nose.
Under
it looked
his
like
nose.
A big red zit.
Yeah, and you're like, okay, well, maybe that's something. And then Danny joked and put it into the universe and was like, you have shingles, dude. And he was like, I don't have shingles. It turns out that Cap has a Depression-era disease known as shingles. And it's not really something to joke about, but we knew he's going to be okay. So we can laugh a little bit as an expense. Cap has shingles, maybe the plague. What other depression era diseases are there out there?
The black lung. I don't know. I feel awful for him. I don't know. I haven't heard of someone having shingles in many years.
Yeah.
I feel really bad.
And everybody's worried about everybody. At least everybody at the station now is Googling whether or not they can get it. Everything has been wiped down and sanitized. And I'm sure we're going to get some medical people to call in and be like, shingles isn't a joke. Well, listen, it's Cap. So we're going to joke about it because that's what we do. But ultimately, yeah. So we're in for Cap today, and we're going to do a good job, I think, of filling in for him. But let's move on to more important things. The Bears and the Saints coming off a bye. The Bears, not so good off a bye. They've actually lost their last 5 games, I believe, off of a bye. Matt Nagy, not that great in opening season games or off of a bye. Hopefully they had a chance to regroup. The stereotypical thing to say is that the bye has not come at a better time for the Bears. So an early bye for them. They get to rework some things. They've got some injuries that they have to deal with. And now we'll see what they do against the Saints, who are banged up themselves. Alvin Kamara didn't practice for the 2nd straight day. He might not be a go. He's got an ankle and a knee injury. If this was hockey, they would just call it a lower body injury. He's got that whole leg problem, so he might not play. But ultimately, you've got a backup quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater coming in. You've got a very good defense in the Saints defense coming in. They're 14th in DVOA. They've allowed only 40 points their last 3 games combined. So you've got a team that's going to be tough to deal with. And as someone who is up there
every day
dealing with the team, what has there been like a renewed sense of energy coming off of the Oakland loss? Or is there a, you know, new... Everybody wants the offense to kind of click now. Everybody says this is the bye. Everybody's supposed to come out. You've got Mitchell Trubisky, who's healthy. He's taken all the reps the last 2 days in practice. What is the mood there up at Hallis?
Those people that say everything should just click instantly after the bye week should really just settle down, okay? Mm-hmm. Push the brakes. Calm yourselves. I don't think it's going to be like that. Especially because, look, Trubisky is going to come back. And in talking to the offensive coordinator, Mark Helfrich, yesterday, I asked him, I said, hey, what are the concerns if he comes back? He's not going to be 100%. Let's just call it what it is. That shoulder, he said it himself, there's going to be some pain tolerance and he's going to have to wear a harness. And Helfrich is like, look, if the doctors say, and Nagy said this too, he can come back, we're not worried about concerns. Like, you go and you go all out. Mm-hmm. I mean, that Saints defense isn't going to slow down because you aren't feeling well. Like, this is the NFL. It is what it is. So I wouldn't say if you are looking for this offense to have some sort of breakout game under a top five defense in the Saints, like, I don't know that this is the one, okay? But I will say this. It is a positive sign that Taylor Gabriel is likely going to play and is back. He's been cleared to practice and has been practicing as a full participant after suffering a concussion. I mean, it's been since the Redskins game when we saw him, and he had 3 touchdowns in that game. Him and Trubisky have some sort of connection, obviously. So that is a good thing, especially when you have a good corner, the Saints do, that is. And they're obviously going to target Allen Robinson, the number one receiver for the Bears. You need other options when it comes to receiving threats. So I think that is a good sign. I think Matt Nagy was very clear yesterday that, and the day before, that he has used this bye week to self-reflect, look back on some tape, look back on some film, to figure out where they have gone wrong as an offense. He was very clear yesterday in saying, look, the numbers that guys like Tariq Cohen have, that's our offense. It's pretty stagnant at this point. It's not moving in the direction we want. He realizes that. Where, for me, I think this renewed sense of energy will come from is probably the defense. The defense didn't look like themselves in London. Everyone from Maha, Clinton Dix, to Khalil Mack, to Chuck Pagano has said that was not what that defense is. That's not who they are. And Pagano said yesterday, well, why don't we just hear from Pagano yesterday?
We're going to hear from Matt Nagy right now.
Okay, perfect.
We're getting Pagano. But Matt Nagy talked about what he identified as a problem during the bye week.
Well, the reason we're in second and long is because we're not doing anything right on first down, right? So that's where it starts. On first down, what are you doing on first down? And then there's probably not a whole lot of teams that are doing real great on second and long or third and long. And so the other part of that, too, is you're getting into first and 20 and now it's second and 12. And first down needs to be a better play for us on first down, run or pass. If I'm throwing the ball or we're throwing the ball or I'm calling a pass, it needs to be completed and it needs to be another first down. If I call a run, it needs to be a run and it's not second and 10. It's a run and it's second and out and 7 or 6, right? That's what we need to do.
That's Coach Matt Nagy talking to the media yesterday. I'm Adam Abdallah along with Shea Pepler-Cornett in for the Catman on Cap and Company. And right now, the Bears have one of the worst offenses in the NFL. They're 27th in scoring, 30th in yards per play, tied for 21st in third down conversions. I think that fans understand that the defense is going to be there, like we've seen it the last couple of years, right? You know that even with Akeem Hicks out, they're still going to be, hopefully, after the bye, Khalil Mack is going to have a good game and everything like
hopefully,
that. Everybody, yeah,
yes.
Hopefully. Everybody knows that
Leonard Floyd might show up.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Exactly.
Might
the
be
defense
nice.
Is there. The concerns are
the offense.
The offense. The concerns are the offense. The concerns are Mitchell Trubisky. And Danny joked during the meeting today, is a one-armed Mitchell Trubisky better than a two-armed Chase Daniel? You know,
yeah.
So we'll ultimately find out. And Trubisky talking about how his shoulder popped back in.
Did you put it back in on the sideline?
It went back in. Yeah, it went back in.
I mean, he popped it back in on the sideline. And to me, as I've never dislocated anything. I'm not athletic at all. I've never dislocated anything. I look to avoid dislocating
disclaimer,
things.
Disclaimer, never dislocated anything.
I've broken my arm, but I've never, like, I try to avoid those things. I see basketball and I'm like, I'm going to tear something. So I feel like, though, the common talk, the talk around the media and the coaches and all that, they're going to let him go, like you mentioned. They're going to let Trubisky go. If he wasn't 100%, they wouldn't let him be out there. He's going to run. They're going to look to do all that kind of stuff. But there is concern that once he gets hit for the first time and takes, if he gets sacked, because the offensive line has been porous, they haven't been giving him a lot of time. They're 23rd in pass blocking efficiency, according to Pro Football Focus. So they haven't been giving him a lot of time to throw. If he takes another hit and this thing pops out again, this could be season ending.
Okay.
Because ultimately he'd have to have surgery, and then we're stuck with Chase Daniel the rest of the way.
All right, you're going down a very sad spiral over
but
there.
That's what you have to be concerned with those things going into a
no,
game
I hear
against
you.
A very good defense
and then
in the
this
Saints.
Could happen and the rain will fall
it could.
And it's, we'll all have shingles.
It's
I don't
cloudy
know.
Out there, Shay. I don't know if you've looked out there. It's cloudy
it's
today.
Like, seriously, let's go glass half full. Yes, the Bears need to be better on first down. You heard Matt Nagy say it. Mitchell Trubisky said the same thing. That is clearly a point of emphasis in the locker room. On first down this year, the Bears are earning less than 5 yards. It's 28th in the league. Add it to 28 and below in all the offensive categories this team is ranked in. They're not good. So he's right. That comes with starting fast. That comes with starting fast on drives. The offense needs to be better, and they need to establish they're going to be better early on, because you know who the Saints have on the other side of the ball that's going to be staring right into Mitchell Trubisky's eyes? That would be Cam Jordan. 5 sacks so far this year, and in talking to guys like Chase Daniel, someone who was on this Saints roster and knows this team really well, he's like, dude, this is one guy, that is highly underrated in this league. He does not get all the credit that he deserves. He is a beast, and he comes for the quarterback. That would be my number one concern, is Cam Jordan going after Mitchell Trubisky on Sunday when the Saints come to town. Yeah, concerns offensively. For me, there were concerns defensively, though, too. I know that they can't have a great game every single game, but you can't give up 97 yards at the end of a game and look tired.
No, and they've been statistically one of the worst fourth quarter defenses in the league going
Another
back
thing
to
they
last
worked on
year.
During the bye week. Yes.
Yeah, and, you know, that's something you can work on, but ultimately, if you're on the field for 50, 60 plays a game, if you're on the field for 60 plays a game and you can't control the time of possession because your offense can't get a first down, like Nagy
yes.
talked about, it's going to put a stress on your defense. Now, a lot of the times they were up in those games and they were just playing prevent defense and they were just giving up yards and it didn't matter. But when it does matter in some of these games now, and now that it's going to matter, now that they're not the number one defense in the country anymore...
Yeah.
Those kind of things matter because you've got an offense that struggles to put up points, and so the defense now has to step up. And you can call us up 312-332-3776. Who has to step up in this game, and what concerns do you have for this game against the Saints? Obviously, Trubisky needs to step up. That's a given. We know that. But besides him, is it Tariq Cohen? Is it the offensive line? Is it the defense against a team that somehow with a backup quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater, who's going to make a bunch of money next year,
yeah.
is winning games, and they're 4-0 with him. Here's Chuck Pagano talking about how the defense has responded during the bye.
They've responded, you know, really well, just like we thought they would. You know, nobody's, you know, it seems like it's been, you know, a year since we played that game, and this one can't come fast enough, obviously, but, you know, it was good for all of us, you know, and it wasn't, you know, I wasn't up to par. You know, I put those guys in a bunch of tough spots, and you know, credit Oakland, they came out and did a good job, but certainly not us. So they've responded really, really well. We had a great day of practice yesterday. Expect the same thing today.
So that was Chuck Pagano yesterday addressing the media. The defense needs to step up. Obviously a horrible loss. With the extra time to think about it, I think has made that loss to Oakland even worse. You have the long flight home. The fans have been worrying about it for 2 weeks. And now everybody is like, oh, no, the defense has fallen apart. It's not. It's one game. Yeah. They're ultimately still one of the best defenses in the league. Are they as good as they were last year? No, but everybody expected some drop-off. They were historically good last year.
Right.
Some drop-off was to be expected.
But, Abdallah, here's what I didn't like about the defense, okay? When you prepare for not having Akeem Hicks, you play well, okay? You stop the run. You put pressure on the quarterback. You do everything you want as a defense, knowing Akeem's not going to be there to help you with that because he is a leader on that side of the ball. When you weren't prepared for him to go out of the game, like in London, because he goes down early, you didn't make up for the loss. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You struggled mightily to stop the run. And that's what concerns me. Which team is it going to be? One that knows how to replace and reload, or one that seems confused without having one of their leaders on that side of the ball for the next several weeks? So that was jarring to me. But you're right. I mean, we could talk here about the defense having one bad game all day long. It really, in the grand scheme of things, the offense is the problem.
Yeah, ultimately, especially at home, you know the defense is going to show up.
Yes.
That's what I think one thing Bears fans can count on. That and special teams have been really good for them so far this season. Eddie Pinheiro actually going down to Soldier Field today to kick because this is kind of the conditions it's going to be. It's going to be about 60 degrees. It's going to be, you know, it shouldn't be that windy. It's not going to be wet out there. It's not supposed to rain till later at night. Tracy Butler is going to come in and give us the full weather forecast at 10:45. But ultimately, this is kind of what it's going to be like out there. And it's not good. The grass isn't going to be as long as it's going to be up at Ryan Field for Northwestern Ohio State tonight. But he wants to get out there and practice. And I think it's something that, you know, maybe Cody Parkey should have done last year.
Don't say the words.
But, you know, and like I said, you can call us up 312-332-3776 and let us know.
Pinheiro, you know, didn't practice full out the few weeks leading up to the bye because he wasn't feeling well with that knee. So he wasn't kicking as much in practice. Now he's feeling better, wants to go to Soldier. This is cold.
Is he still limping?
No,
he's not limping up there?
No, it wasn't
okay.
This is cold temps to him. The dude went to school in Florida, played out in Cali with the Raiders. Like, these are cold temps. He's got to get used to it. It's only going to get worse.
It's only going to get much worse. Harold and Skokie, you're on ESPN. You're on ESPN 1000. Fat fingers over here. I'm sorry. Harold, you're on ESPN 1000.
What's going on, guys? Love the show, by the way. Wish, you know, Cat was back in the show, but of course he's sick. But just to answer your question, man, to be honest, Trey Burton needs to step up. I know he had mentioned saying that he doesn't feel himself, but hey, it's now or never. Either you step up or you don't want to be part of the team no more, just hey, get Adam Shaheen, you know? But I think that's another important role that Trey Burton needs to step up because he hasn't been playing himself actually this whole season. But what do you guys think about that? I'll leave you guys with that.
Thanks, Harold. Appreciate it. And I don't think Trey Burton doesn't want to be on the team or out on the field, but it's something that it is a drastic drop off for him and Adam Shaheen. I think that, and Nagy talked about it earlier this week as well, that Trey Burton needs to go because that the offense that they run and the offense that Andy Reid runs in Kansas City, all of that revolves around a good tight end. That revolves around getting that tight end involved in space. And I think that that is something that the Bears need definitely from Trey Burton. Chris in Lockport, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, Paola, huge fan of yours on Lyle and Sylvie.
Thanks,
Chris. I want to just say Anthony Miller is the guy that I want to see step up. You know, Allen Robinson's going to be shadowed by Lattimore. He's basically going to be out of the game. Gabriel's hurt. So, I mean, Anthony Miller needs to step up. You know, he's a second-round draft pick. He had a huge penalty in the London game. I just want to see Anthony Miller have his game now.
All right, thanks a lot, Patrick. Appreciate
the call.
Me too,
because I put Anthony Miller on my fantasy football team.
Yeah, well, no, I think that
he's
a guy that, you know, he's doing a lot of talking on social media, and I don't know if someone...
Miller?
Yeah. And I agree. He does need to step up. He had the one good game, Mitch's one good game this season when they beat the Redskins. And other than that, Anthony Miller's kind of been MIA. It's been an Allen Robinson offense, and that's kind of it. So if the Bears are going to beat the Saints on Sunday, who needs to step up? Call us 312-332-3776. And we've got someone on the line we'll get to next who might have the worst take already.
Oh, no.
Week.
Can we just really quick go back to Burton, though?
Yeah.
He definitely needs to have a big game, and I think this might be it. He wasn't feeling well. He's now had a bye to recover. This is a guy in four games this season, has 11 receptions for 57 yards. I mean, a huge step back.
Mm-hmm.
He played 80% of the offensive snaps last year. This year, 45.9%. I mean, but he's also coming off a surgery, a groin issue. I mean, this guy has had issues stacking up. Now he's had some time to recover. But yesterday, in asking Matt Nagy about Trey Burton, he made it seem like we're going to see more of him. And you're right. This offense thrives when you have a good tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Burton's obviously capable of it. He just hasn't felt like himself. But if there's anyone that knows this offense really well, it's like Chase Daniel is 1A, Trey Burton is 2A. You know what I'm saying? So
where's Trubisky?
I don't know. I think he's like 4D.
That's Shea Pepler-Cornett. I'm Adam Abdallah in for the Catman. This hour is brought to you by NBC Sports Chicago. Remember, NBC Sports Chicago is your only place to watch Blackhawks games this season, including tonight. Watch Pat Boyle and the Blackhawks. This is ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
You are listening to David Kaplan, weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Okay, I like these beats.
Well, I mean, Chris knows who's in. Shea Pepler, Cornette, along with Adam Abdallah here, filling in for the Catman. Follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. Follow Shea at Shea Pepler. Chris knows the median age drops like 20 years.
When I'm here for these beats.
It's probably more, 30 years.
Cap's not here to grab the aux cord today, so.
Place more of that Paul McCartney.
No.
Anyway, we're in for Catman. He's got the shingles. He'll be back as soon as...
He's got the shingles.
I like that.
He's got the shingles. Yeah. So you get to play some of that old-timey Notre Dame music for us, too. Hey, grab a Lucky and avoid the shingles.
Poor guy. I feel bad. And people are, like, hitting us up on Twitter. Like,
know,
you guys
know
how awful this is.
I understand. But it's just that if any of us got shingles, we would be made fun of.
Oh, for sure.
Because, and I get you can't control it because you can't control what you get. It's a disease or virus, whatever it is. I get it, but it's still kind of funny. And Cap's going to join us at 9:45 for Shingles Update and to give us his best plays of the weekend. I think the Shingles are -150
right now.
It's
just such an awful name, too. Like, the Shingles. Like, it's so disgusting. It's like, it's such a sickening name. Like, at least, oh, I have a cold. It's like a cute little name.
I know, right?
The Shingles.
I don't want to be mean because he's under the weather and he's in a lot of discomfort, but I saw him.
It's bad, isn't it?
Just use your imagination and imagine the worst.
People are sending us GIFs on Twitter of what they think he looks like. It's not pretty.
Oh,
it's not pretty. So we're taking all of your Bears calls here, 312-332-3776. Who needs to step up on Sunday? Obviously, we know Trubisky needs to step up, but who else besides him? Is it Trey Burton? Is it the offensive line? Is it the defense without Akeem Hicks? But someone has arguably the worst take of the day. Harding in Orland Park. Harding, you're on ESPN 1000.
All right, so I want to take the opportunity for once to recognize Mitch Trubisky on an accomplishment. We can say he's better than Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes at avoiding season-ending injuries. He's been hurt much like them, but at least he's able to get back on the field. My shot or no shot changed a little bit. Shot or no shot, Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are okay with Mitch Trubisky entering this game because if he does get hurt, that's their out instead of having to take a pie to the face and say, hey, we made a mistake. We flubbed that draft. He's hurt. We got to replace him. Shot or no shot. All right, guys.
I'm going to say no shot. Yeah, I'm going to say no shot on that one. I don't think they would put someone out there to get injured just to make themselves look better. And if you don't know the news, Patrick Mahomes leaves the Chiefs game yesterday as they beat the Broncos with a dislocated patellar tendon in his knee. Adam Schefter saying that if there's no ligament damage, he could be back in 3 weeks. If there is ligament damage, it could be as long as the rest of the year. Andy Reid yesterday after the game talking about how Mahomes is doing.
He's in a good place. I mean, he was in a good place on the field when it happened. Our doc was phenomenal and just calming everything down. You know, Dr. Schreppel, he just kind of calmed the storm right there, and Pat was good, felt very comfortable with him. He refused to get in that cart.
Was Mahomes hurt on the called play?
Yeah, no, that was a called play, yeah. Yeah, that was called. Probably shouldn't have called it, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And do you have any regrets about calling the sneak, you know,
Cam? No, I mean, not too many people get hurt on a sneak, and so it's a freak thing. It happens.
It is a freak thing. It's a quarterback sneak.
You can't do that.
I shouldn't have called it. Like, hindsight's
20/20. Yeah, the reports are that he said as soon as he was like, it's out. They popped it back in on the field, it looked like. He walked off on his own, walked back to the locker room. He was quickly ruled out. And we'll get more information later in the day on Patrick Mahomes.
Here's the thing with Mahomes. They have a 4 weeks and then a bye. Mm-hmm. If there's not actual ligament damage, you would assume he'll just come back after the bye. That would make the most sense. Especially if they can still be a capable offense with more under center. Look, this isn't good for the Chiefs.
No.
Despite how the defense looked yesterday against the Broncos, which was incredible. I mean, you could say the Chiefs had the Bears defense yesterday. They had 9 sacks.
Yeah.
Ugh, the Broncos offense is just brutal, and their offensive line is even worse. But anyways, typically, the Chiefs don't have a good defense, and typically, they don't have a good run game. So you rely on Mahomes to score all your points. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're playing anyone else besides a horrific Broncos team yesterday who basically handed them the game on a silver platter, it's a problem.
Now, if he's out, you want to know why it's not good for the Bears. You would say, oh, he's out. The Bears face the Chiefs. That's great. They face the Packers next, and then the Vikings. If the Packers and Vikings can win those games with Mahomes out, bad for the Bears. They then face the Titans and the Chargers, and then they have that bye week. And if he does come back after the bye week, the Bears face the Chiefs December 22nd, the second to last game of the season. So if he's out for 3 weeks, if he's out for a year, it could be good for the Bears. It could be bad for the Bears. Ultimately, it's bad for the league if he's out. And we'll find more.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
The Vikings and the Packers.
Yeah, we'll find more. We'll find out more later this afternoon, hopefully, once they get the MRI. Mark in Rockford, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Cap, feel better. Wishing you best of luck recovering from shingles. My take is I think David Montgomery needs to step up. I think while the offensive line hasn't been good, I have seen David Montgomery miss some holes that he could have exploited. And you got to have him step up. He needs to get that yardage on first down. He needs to open up the play action pass, make sure that the linebackers aren't able to drop back into coverage, because Trubisky, you know, he's not going to go down the field. We want him to go down the field, but I don't think Matt Nagy's going to let him. So you got to allow the middle of the field to be open so that he can get those 8-yard passes and try and get the, you know, move the chains that way. So that's my take.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate the call. Matt Nagy yesterday talked about what does Montgomery do best.
He has really good vision, so he's able to do both. He can move laterally, make guys miss, and there is a different speed than what you see in college. But I also like when he's going downhill, because he's a thumper too. You know, he's able to take on hits. He can break tackles. He led the NCAA in that when he was running in college. So the ability of him to do both and then catch the ball. But so far, I mean, there hasn't been a whole lot of opportunities, but the chances that he has had, we know what he can do.
I've mentioned the stats on offense. The worst offenses in the NFL, 27th in scoring, 30th in yards per play, tied for 21st in third down conversions.
It doesn't fall on one guy.
I know it doesn't fall on one guy. It's not, well, it falls on Matt Nagy.
Fine.
It falls on him.
The offensive coordinator, Harry Heistand, the offensive line coach. I mean, you could go anywhere. Rags, the Ragone, the quarterback's coach. I mean, go anywhere with the coaching staff. But it doesn't fall on David Montgomery, or it doesn't fall on one guy on the offensive line either, which I think is more the problem than the run game has been.
Yeah, because you've seen them not be able to, you know, the running offense only averages 2.9 yards per carry. One of the worst in the NFL as well. That's on the offensive line. That's on guys, because Nagy has weapons. He's got Tariq Cohen. He's got David Montgomery.
Yeah.
He's got Trey Burton. He's got Anthony Miller. He's got Allen Robinson. Does he have too much to work with?
No.
Do you think he doesn't know? That's what some people say, that he's got too much to work with.
You know why they say that, though? I think
because no one is performing.
Yes, but I've added to this problem. In the beginning, it was, you know, very well documented that he threw a lot at them in training camp. He threw the whole offensive playbook at them, and there was almost confusion, I think, among the receivers and the running backs and the offensive line and the quarterback as to where to go, because the offense is so complex. So then it was very well documented that Matt Nagy said they wanted to take a step back. They wanted to simplify things. In order to do that, you would assume you wouldn't have as many guys, as many weapons on the field at once, and you wouldn't be going as many places. And so I think the natural narrative is, are there too many? You don't know where to go with it. You're confused because of the offense. And no. And he actually answered that yesterday when he was asked, could you have too many playmakers? No, you can't. Mm-hmm. It's a great problem to have, especially when you have guys like Allen Robinson sometimes getting double teamed. Mm-hmm. Or Tariq Cohen, as Matt Nagy said yesterday. So I don't think that's the problem. Again, I think the offensive line and their struggles have caused issues for the quarterback, have caused issues for the run game. And yesterday I was talking to Charles Leno, who's the most penalized player in the NFL right now. He's gotten a lot of those holding calls. He's, you know, shot the offense in the foot sometimes, for lack of a better word. They have to take a step back. And I said, how are you going to fix those penalties? Like, it's a problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he said, I'm going to go up to the refs before the game, and I'm going to ask, how can I be better? What do I need to fix? Because some of those holding calls weren't holding calls. And obviously the calls this year have been an issue from top to bottom. But I think at least they're looking at it and they're trying to fix it as best as they can. And there's going to be some guys rotating in and out with Kyle Long out now. And according to what they're telling me in the locker room, they only need a few days of good communication to figure that out, because during training camp and practice, they all rotate positions so much. So Hopefully, that offensive line is fixed against the Saints.
Last year, they had the Week 5 bye, and they kind of did the same thing, where they went through and they cut everything down, like you mentioned. They got rid of some plays. They didn't dumb it down. They just took plays away and said, this is what we do well. This is what we don't do well. Let's try to fix this. They lost their first two games out of the bye. They're doing the same thing this year. They had the Week 6 bye. It's early. The bye couldn't have come at a better time.
I hate that. Like, it would have been a good time anytime. It's a break.
I saw an article today that was written about the Panthers. The bye couldn't have come at a better time. No, the bye comes when it comes. You can't do better time. And ultimately, you see the same thing now. Are they going to look at what they do well offensively and what they don't do well and do more of that and try to get more guys involved or try to just capitalize off of that? It's going to be on Matt Nagy's second year as a head coach.
What do they do well?
What do they do well? Do they run the ball well?
Not really.
Is Trubisky good at throwing?
Not
is he accurate?
Really?
The problem I think has been mostly on Matt Nagy to get guys open. Last year, Trubisky threw the ball more accurately because more guys were open. You saw guys being schemed open all the time.
Well, he also had a lot of good third down plays with his legs. I mean, we're not seeing that either.
We're not seeing that either. He's not running for some reason. And is he going to be more skittish to run? He says no. But ultimately, when you get to the game and someone hits you for the first time, are you going to be a little more skittish running the ball? Shea Pepler-Cornett, Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. In for the Catman, Patrick in the South Loop. You're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. Doing a great job holding in for Cap. Hope he gets better soon from the shingles, but he can take his time and get better because you guys are holding it down. Appreciate the show. real quick side point. As a family medicine physician myself, I just wanted to point out that the Shingrix vaccine is available and covers shingles cases and recurrences in about 90% of people, recommended by the CDC over age 55. So those of you in that genre, check it out. but real quick, the person I think needs to step up for the Bears on Sunday is actually Coach Nagy. I think that Trubisky should be able to play at approximately 100% with that harness on his shoulder, but as you guys have pointed out, Cam Jordan is a beast, and the offensive line has some new looks. I think getting the ball out of his hands real quick slants, we've got a lot of weapons, Tariq Cohen, Anthony Miller, guys like Taylor Gabriel coming back. If we can get a couple yards on first down on short passing plays, that sort of gets rid of the lack of running game that we've had and maybe get Trubisky some confidence going forward. Thanks again for the show, guys. I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Patrick. I will say this about that harness. Anthony Miller was wearing it all season. I didn't even know. I had no idea he was still wearing a harness. He said he cut it off after he had that drop against the Raiders in London. And he's not going to wear it since that drop. And he said he felt like he was restricted in some of his catches. But I didn't even know he had that on. I'm there all the time. I'm in the locker room after the game. So I will say this about that harness. You, because we're talking about it, you'll know. You wouldn't have, though, otherwise, you know?
Yeah, and I think Yurko's been saying it for a while. Carmen Yurko out today. They'll be on at noon today. They're on about. You can go hang out with them. And so Yurko's been saying the only way it's going to affect Trubisky is if there's a high snap to his left.
Right.
So if he has to go up and try to catch the ball, that's the only time he'll actually feel something. Now, getting hit's completely different. Obviously, he's going to feel it when he gets hit. But ultimately, if there's a high snap, and that's on the offensive line, if it's a high snap, then you might have a problem. But ultimately, I think you've seen success, like Patrick mentioned, with the quick passes, with the slants, with the going to his first read. If those few scripted plays, those first two drives, those scripted plays, the first 15, they come out very well because he can look to his guy if he's open right away, and if not, he can hand it off in the RPO or he can tuck and run it himself.
I will say this, Abdallah, watching practice, was it yesterday or the day before? I forget. Mm-hmm. I did see him take some high snaps. He was practicing it with his hands above his head.
Okay.
And he looked fine to me. Now, it wasn't to the right or to the left. They were just above his hand, above his head, and he took them fine. I saw him take them fine. Now, that doesn't mean that could change on Sunday after a hit or you feel a certain kind of way, but promising sign. I did see him, and I did see him catch those balls without grimacing.
I think, Shay, it comes down to this. He got healthy because the bye came at the right time. Simple as that. And you can see Carmen and Yurko at Twin Peaks.
All signs point to that.
Yeah, they're at Twin Peaks in Warrenville, 28252. That's a long number address. 28252 Deal Road. Twin Peaks in Warrenville. Just go to Google Maps, type in Twin Peaks Warrenville. It'll take you right there. You don't need to know the street.
Aren't you supposed to say 28252, isn't that how they do that?
Is that how you're supposed to 28252? It just sounds weird to say that. 28252 Deal Road. Just Google Maps, whatever you use for maps, type in Twin Peaks Warrenville. It'll know where to take you. That's all you got to do. Everybody's got navigation now. What are we going to MapQuest and printing out
those
directions
are
now?
Days.
I don't think we're doing that. Dom is in North Chicago. Dom, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to mention that you guys haven't brought up Michael Thomas once yet. So if he has a field day, he's the best receiver in the league. He's going to just go off, you know?
That's a good point.
And then one other thing. So for the I forgot to mention earlier. So with all these Mitch truthers, there's no, like, truth to Mitch. So can we just call them Mitch Trebaiters? Nice little nickname. Get it out of there. What are your thoughts?
I like
all right,
it.
Take it easy, guys.
Someone came up on Twitter with a good name. It was just Mitch. Because he just meh.
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 Yeah, I saw that yesterday.
But yeah, his point to Michael Thomas in the offense, while the Saints have been winning, they are 4-0 with Teddy Bridgewater. They ranked 25th in the NFL over the past 5 weeks in both yards per game and offensive points per game. So they haven't been putting up a lot of offense. So if the Bears defense can do what they've been doing all season except for the Raiders game and limit them, and Alvin Kamara's banged up, he might not play, they should be okay. And it's up to the offense to score more than 16 points. We'll see if they can do that. Actually, the man himself, David Kaplan, at the Catman. Hopefully, he's well enough to join us. He's going to give us his best plays because he can't take a day off. The man knows no. Yesterday, he's tweeting Cubs news. Today, he's giving his best plays. No sickness, no illness is going to keep David Kaplan down. He'll join us next here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Best plays with Cap and Company.
I love some of this money. Get me in this game. Come on.
David Kaplan gets you ready for the football weekend.
Gambling? Who said anything about gambling? It's not gambling when you know you're going to win.
These are the best plays. David Kaplan's weekly picks against the spread.
It's also illegal.
It's not illegal. It's frowned upon.
Best plays with Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Viva! Viva! Las Vegas!
Some money.
Cap did make you guys some money last week. He went 2-1. He had the Panthers and the Lions, and he lost with the Browns. But
which
that's
I told
okay.
him he was gonna
well,
lose.
He's gotta listen. That's Shea Pepler Cornett. I'm Adam Abdallah in for the Cap Man. No, we are not going to give you his picks. The man cannot be stopped. He's sick. He's a broken man right now.
The shingles.
But he's got the shingles. a depression era disease will not stop the Cap Man from coming on. I hope he goes and gets a vaccine after this and a flu shot. Get two shots while you're there. Get two shots, Cap. One shot, two shots for Cap. Cap, how are you feeling?
Lousy, but I did get the flu shot already, so that's covered, and you can't get the shingles shot while you've got the shingles.
Well, you've already got the shingles, so yeah, I mean, you got to wait till you don't have
I feel so bad for you. How
shingles.
Do you feel?
Lousy. I mean, I never depended on a bottle of Aleve liquid gels in my life like this. Just
guy.
Painful.
I mean, I know a couple
no
guys that
fun.
Might be able to get you some
that.
Pain medicine if you need it.
All right. Let's get to the picks.
The best plays are brought to you by the Caesars Book and Horseshoe Hammond.
Put it in a pizza box and send it over.
he's like, I'll take whatever I can get help.
All right, Cap. So, make us some money. What do you got?
I looked at these games and I found some interesting trends. I like the Chicago Bears laying 3 to the New Orleans Saints. And I'm not telling you the Bears are going to put up 48 points like they did on Tampa a year ago in a similar spot. But I'm telling you that I think they're going to play much better. I think that this Saints team is very, very good, but I don't think they're unbeatable. Teddy Bridgewater is a cover machine, but I don't think he is this elite quarterback that people look at and go, oh, my God, how are we going to stop Teddy Bridgewater? So I do have Chicago winning the game something around 20-16, 24-17, and they cover the three-point line.
Cap. It's 3.5.
Okay, 3.5. Cover it either way.
Doesn't matter. Take that spread.
Yeah, take that. The second game, the Falcons are, you know, really having troubles, but the Rams are equally struggling. Jared Goff, 13 for 24 for 78 yards, no touchdowns and a loss against the 49ers at home. I do think the Falcons are treating this like their last stand for Dan Quinn. If they get beat at home, who knows what could happen. And I do think the Falcons getting the line I have is 3. Falcons +3 over the Rams.
All right, Cap, I'm going to play the role of Shay now. And if I've learned one thing this season, and Chris Bleck, who's producing the show, can chime in as well. Don't ever bet on the Falcons. Never. Waddle did this last week. It was his love and like it, love it, steer clear of it. He should have steered clear of it, or just a taste of it. He should have steered clear of it, and he didn't. Mm-hmm. And he took the Falcons. It's your play, but I wouldn't play the Falcons with your money.
I'll take the Falcons. And then my third game, Colts minus one is the line now. It opened at Colts plus one. It's now Colts minus one against the Houston Texans. Look, Deshaun Watson's a hell of a football player. Both teams coming off a victory over the Chiefs. But the Colts are at home. They're coming off a bye. And I really think that the Colts will win this game. Fairly low scoring, but I do think they will win the game outright. So unless it's a one-point game and then we get, at worst, the push, if the Colts win, we win. So I'm taking the Colts. I'm laying the 1 point to the Houston Texans in Indianapolis.
Man, I like that game, and now I don't like it because Cap picked it.
I like
that's,
it.
That's kind of how it goes. I'm just
I'll
kidding,
take his
Cap.
Picks. I like him this
I'm
week.
I'm just kidding, Cap. Any final Bears thoughts or Cubs managerial thoughts you want to get off your chest before you no, go I, back I, into it, the... Where your bed? I don't know where you are right now.
No, I'm in the basement just okay. watching Quarantined. Television. And let me tell you something. As active as I am, it sucks to be down. And then you look in the mirror and see how awful you look. And I have no choice. I mean, there's nothing I can do. I went to two doctors yesterday. It is what it is. But, man, it sucks being stuck at home. Sucks.
What are you watching? Are you binging something? What are you watching?
I actually watched yesterday how they arrest smugglers in the Colombia airport in Medellin.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
So that was pretty interesting. And then it went to Brazil, and these idiots are swallowing, you know, capsules. One guy had 36 capsules of cocaine inside him, and their technology down there, you just walk into this radar, and they're like, that's cocaine. It's right there. You're busted. It's unbelievable.
Can I give you a suggestion? You should, today, tackle Fleabag. Mm-hmm. You should tackle Fleabag today.
Fleabag, that's a show?
That's a show, yeah. I've never seen it, but it won a bunch of awards at the Emmys, so why not? Mm-hmm. Fleabag.
Okay, Fleabag.
Let's do Fleabag today.
I've never seen Breaking Bad in my life.
Me either, Cap.
What is wrong with you two?
I did watch a great movie called 7 Days to Vegas with Vince Van Patten. Highly recommend it.
Okay. I've never heard of
I'll give you
all right.
Yeah, really
all right,
good.
Cap, feel better.
But shingles suck, and I empathize with anyone who's ever had to go through it.
Feel better, Cappy. We miss you.
All right. Love you guys. See ya.
See ya.
We'll send him a vaccine on horseback. Oh. Maybe he'll get it. Depression-era disease that Cap's got.
Those
are his picks. The best plays are brought to you by the Caesars book at Horseshoe Hammond. We'll get the latest on the Bears from Adam Johns next. That's Shea Pepper Cornett. I'm Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.